Hi, Gerwin Jones here, and welcome to another edition of From the Bookshelf. Today we are continuing to read from The Motorcycle Diaries, A Journey Around South America by Ernesto Che Guevara, translated by Anne Wright and published by Verso in 1995. We're starting out reading from the chapter entitled Stowaways. We got through customs with no trouble and headed boldly for our target. The boat we'd chosen, the San Antonio, was the centre of feverish activity in the port, but because it was small, it didn't need to come right alongside the quay for the cranes to reach it, so there was a gap of several metres between it and the docks. We had no option but to wait until the boat moved closer before going on board, and we sat on our bundles waiting philosophically for a suitable moment. At midnight, with a change of shift, the boat was brought alongside, but the harbour master, an unfriendly-looking fellow, stood squarely on the gangplank checking the men. We made friends with the crane driver in the meantime, and he advised us to wait for a better moment because the guy was a real bastard. So we began a long wait which lasted all night, keeping warm in the crane, an ancient contraption which ran on steam. The sun came up and we were still with our bundles on the dock. Our hopes of getting aboard had almost vanished when the captain turned up with a ramp which had been mended, and the San Antonio was now permanently connected to dry land. So, given the thumbs up by the crane driver, we slipped on board with no trouble at all and locked ourselves and our bags in a toilet in the officers' quarters. From then on, all we had to do was to say in a nasal voice, "Can't come in," or "Occupied," on the half dozen or so times someone tried to use it. It was midday, and the boat had just sailed, but our good mood was disappearing fast, because the toilet, apparently blocked for some time, stank to high heaven, and it was incredibly hot. By 1 o'clock, Alberto had brought up the entire contents of his stomach, and at 5 in the afternoon, absolutely starving and with no land in sight, we presented ourselves to the captain as stowaways. He was quite surprised to see us again, and in these circumstances, but not as to let us on, he knew us in front of the other officers. He winked and thundered, "Do you think all you have to do is to travel and jump from the first boat you come across? Haven't you thought of the consequences?" The truth is, we hadn't given him a moment's thought. He called the steward and told him to give us work and something to eat. We cheerfully gobbled down our rations, but when I learned I had to clean the famous toilet, the food stuck in my throat. As I went below, protesting between clenched teeth, followed by the smirking Alberto, who had been assigned to peeling potatoes, I confess I was tempted to forget everything written about the rules of friendship and ask to change jobs. "There's no justice. He adds a fair portion to the accumulated muck, and I have to clean it all up." After we'd dutifully done our chores, the captain summoned us again. This time he advised us not to mention our previous meeting, that he'd make sure nothing happened when we got off in Antofagasta, where the boat was headed. He gave us the cabin belonging to an officer on leave and invited us to play canasta and have a drink or two. After a rejuvenating sleep, we got up and gave credence to the saying, "New brooms sweep clean." We'd set to work energetically, determined to earn the price of our passage with interest. However, by midday we thought we were overdoing it, and by late afternoon we were definitely convinced we were the most inveterate pair of layabouts ever. We wanted to get a good sleep, ready for work the next day, not to mention washing our dirty clothes, but the captain invited us to play cards again, and that put paid to our good intentions. It took the steward, an unpleasant type, about an hour to get us up and working. My job was to clean the decks with kerosene. It took me all day, and I still hadn't finished. Alberto, cunning bastard, still in the kitchen, ate more and better, not being too fussy about what he shoveled into his stomach. At night, after the exhausting games of canasta, we leaned on the rail and looked out over the vast, gleaming, greeny-white sea, side by side, but each lost in his own thoughts, on his own flight towards the stratosphere of dreams. There we discovered our vocation, our true vocation, and it was to roam the highways and waterways of the world forever, always curious, investigating everything we set eyes on, sniffing into nooks and crannies, but always detached, not putting down roots anywhere, not staying long enough to discover what lay beneath things. The surface was enough. While all the sentimental nonsense the sea inspires drifted through our conversation, the lights of Antofagasta began to wink in the distance in the northeast. It was the end of our adventure as stowaways, or at least the end of this adventure, since our boat was going back to Valparaiso. And now from the chapter entitled, This Time Failure. I can see him now, clear as day, the drunken captain, like well all of his officers, and the mustachioed owner of the vessel alongside, their coarse gestures the product of bad wine, and the raucous laughter as they recounted our odyssey. They're tigers, you know, but they're on your boat now. You'll find out when you're at sea. The captain must have let slip to his friend or this or some similar phrase. We didn't know that, of course. An hour before sailing, we were comfortably installed, buried in tons of sweet-smelling melons, stuffing ourselves silly. We were just saying how great sailors were, since one of them had helped us get on board and hide in such a good place, when we heard an angry voice and a moustache, larger than life, emerge from who knows where and plunged us into the depths of confusion. A long line of melon skins, scraped clean, was floating in an Indian file on the calm sea. What followed was ignominious. The sailor told us afterwards, I'd have gotten him off the scent, lads, but he saw the melons, and it seems he went into a button down the hatches, don't let anyone escape routine. And well, he was sort of embarrassed, you shouldn't have eaten all of those melons, lads. One of our friends from the San Antonio summed up his exquisite philosophy of life with elegant words. You're up shit creek because you're shit shits. Why don't you stop shitting around and shit off back to your shitty countries? So there's more or less what we did. We packed our bags and set off for Chuquicamata, the famous copper mine. But not straight away. We had to wait a day for permission from the authorities to visit the mine. And meanwhile, we got appropriately sent off from enthusiastic bacchanalian sailors. And that's it from me for today on the Bookshelf Show. I'm Kelvin Jones.